Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Greetings, weary travellers. I hope you're well, hope you're good. Good, hope you're having a nice time out there. The sun is still shining, weirdly, even though we're in October. That's good, isn't it? I don't mind that. I think the seasons have shifted. I think that's what's going on. I know there's global warming, I know we have affected things and all that, and there's straws in the noses of turtles, but I don't know, looks like things have shifted along, so we're going to end up having hot Christmases, which is odd for us, not odd for our people in the other side of the world. Anyway, listen, before we get into that, let's get into this. It's our sponsors, Save Our Souls Clothing. Love these boys, good boys doing good things, Mark and Stacey. They help us to keep the lights on here at Insane in the Membrane Towers. And if you go to their website, sosclothing.co.uk /membrane, and use the exclusive listener code membrane, that's one word, you'll get 15% off across the store. Not just our hoodies and tees, but like I said, across the store. What's not to love about that? You know, they've got brilliant items, fantastic garms, ethically sourced, vegan friendly. And their designs are spectacular. They're doing one at the minute. They're doing a line of 80s movies, horror movies influenced designs. It's really cool. I love what they do. It's absolutely first class. So go to sosclothing.co.uk/membrane. Use the exclusive listener code membrane. That's one word, and you'll get 15% off not just of our hoodies and tees, but off the entire store. They're also taking care of our merch for our radio show, The Tuned Up Time Machine. That's on there as well. So get yourself some stuff. Treat yourself, why don't you? It's soon be Christmas and you need some gifts. And why not gift yourself some wonderful garms? Yes! Also, we have limited edition Insane in the Membrane coffee beans. A blend made to our taste by Wogan Coffee in Bristol. They're good people doing good things once again with another blend that raises money to provide free meals. So how about that? They're basically providing money so people can live, so they can eat, you know? So if you go to wogancoffee.com, use the exclusive membrane listener promo code membrane, that's one word, you get 10% off the Insane in the Membrane packs. I mean, who would have thought at the beginning of this that we were going to end up with our own coffee? It's insane, and it's brilliant. The coffee's really nice. So do that for us. Go to wogancoffee.com, use the exclusive membrane listener promo code membrane, and you'll get 10% off the Insane in the Membrane packs. Also, now I do a gig, and it's called the Comedy Crepe. So it's based in Northampton, and KJ and Mike, and it's a brilliant. They do some brilliant gigs dotted around that area. They put together this. It's the Comedy Crate Mystery Box, right? And in it, you'll get 7 items, 2 exclusively designed products, a hand-signed photo from a TV comedian, and more. It's the perfect gift for a comedy fan, and Christmas is getting closer. So what you need to do, right, if you go to thecomedycrate.com/comedy-crate-mystery-box, click on that, and that will take you to the Mystery Box. And in it are some wonderful things from some wonderful comedians. Now, in this first box, there is an exclusive item from us, Insane in the Membrane. And so if you go to that, go and click on the box and buy that box. There'll be all manner of stuff in there, but there's an exclusive item in that box that you can't get anywhere else. We've been over it with the lads, and they put it together. KJ put it together. It's a really nice item. I think you'll really love it. And like I say, it's a limited edition, and we're not going to sell these anywhere. So if you go to thecomedycrate.com/comedy-crate-mystery-box, click on that. It'll be on Facebook as well. That will get you. That will take you to the link, and then you can buy yourself this exclusive Comedy Crate box, mystery box, and there's an exclusive item in there from us. And you can't get it anywhere else. We're not selling these. We're not putting these out there. This is through them, and it's the only place you can get one. So go to do that and sort yourselves out. Lovely. What's been happening? I'm all right. Gigs are happening. Getting back out there. That's good. Busy, busy, busy. When this comes out, so this weekend on the 17th. So this weekend I'm going to be at Last Laugh in Sheffield at City Hall. That's Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday, I'm doing a live recording of my one-man show, Rich Wilson Is a Work in Progress. We're doing a live recording, and that's a show that I'm going to put together. I'm going to release that at some point next year. But I need people down there to talk to. So if you're around on Sunday, show starts at 8. I've got the wonderful Vic Slayton supporting. And we're going to record the whole thing, and I need you there. It's a fiver a ticket. But if you go to Eventbrite, Rich Wilson Is a Work in Progress, click on that link, you'll see that. It's a fiver, but the only reason I'm charging is because I need to pay for the room and I need to pay for the equipment, and that's it. I'm not making a profit from that. So if you could do that for me, come down on Sunday. It's at 8 o'clock at the Cavendish Arms in Stockwell. Rich Wilson Is a Work in Progress. If you could come down to that, that would be fantastic. There's 50 seats, and I could do with a few more faces. So come down and have a laugh. It's going to be a great show. I'm on fine form. You're going to have a really nice time. And we'll have a drink as well, because the bar's open now. We can have a pint. So come down, have a pint, have a laugh. What's not to love? Yes, indeed. So this week's guest is Milo McCabe. Now, Milo is the man behind the character Troy Hawk. He's a man that I've known for many, many years, and we recorded this. I tried to record this before the pandemic, but I had the recording set wrong, so I had to go there. I didn't have the studio. I went to his house and fucked up recording, couldn't hear him. So, and then of course, you know, the world caught fire, so we haven't had a chance to catch up. And so, luckily, we managed to do it this time, and so he came on, and we had a really good chat, and it's a really insightful episode, this one. I think you're going to love this. We really got stuck in. We talked about all manner of stuff. He's such an interesting dude. It was really nice to talk to him. So let's stop waffling and just get on with it, shall we? So coming up in a minute is Milo McCabe.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
Do you know what, right? This is this thing. So we tried to do this before and I fucked up the recording. This is started, by the way. I fucked up the recording. I don't know what happened. It was set too low and I couldn't hear you. Things happen and we're not being allowed near each other.
Yeah.
But you, I said this before, I'm going to say it again. You are the catalyst for this very podcast. You are the person that I first spoke to.
Yeah.
You were the one in the green room when you said, how are you? And I actually told you.
Yeah.
And we had this incredible conversation. And that's where this all sort of started from. So it's you. Yeah.
Sure. What, because of, for me, Stan, how are you?
Yeah, because I just felt, instead of just going, yeah, I'm fine, I'm fine. I knew you well enough. I'm on a subconscious level. I must have somewhere gone, oh, and this is my mate. I know him on a different level. Yeah. I can tell him how what I've been really doing and how I'm really feeling.
And that was something that you weren't used to doing?
No.
Yeah. Well, you've got to be careful doing that kind of thing in green rooms anyway.
Well, that's it. That's why it was so unusual.
Yeah.
And then from that, having conversations with comedians and realising, oh, shit, yeah, we're all kind of holding stuff back, especially in green rooms.
Yeah, what's interesting is when you've got a long car journey with someone,
yeah.
I don't know if there's something about the fact that you're not facing each other. But
yes.
I find you, especially if it's like a 2-3 hour thing, you're sitting there both looking out at the road, and for some reason it makes you a lot more intimate. I think you know you've got this 3-hour journey, so I don't know about you, but personally, I always end up telling people everything about myself on those trips, and vice versa. And then you know when you do that and you get in a role, it flies by the journey, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're not doing, you know, bullshitty small talk. You're actually, you know, having a genuine conversation.
Yeah.
Which is rare and treasured.
Yeah. And that is funny what you say about that side by side. There's a thing called men's sheds, and it's where men go and they'll go and it started off that they'll go and like men will talk when they're doing something else. So they're side by side and they're fixing a lawnmower or they've got their head in the bonnet of a car. And there's an older generation that will only do, they'll only talk if they're doing something. Like I remember Michael Smiley saying to me, I was having some trouble with my youngest son, and he said, go and throw a ball around with him. Go and feed the ducks. Go and do something. And you'll be surprised that, like you say, that because you're not face on, it's not intimidating. Side by side, men will chunter for hours.
That's what Bob Mortimer said about his fishing program.
Right.
As well, he said that he got a lot more sort of candid and open because of exactly what you just said. But to be honest, man, I'll fucking open up in front of nearly anyone. to a fault, like to an extreme, like too much, like because some people just aren't prepared or ready for that level of conversation, are they?
No.
Like if you're not used to it, and you know someone says to you, "How are you?" and I turn around and go, here's how I am in great detail, and 30 seconds in they're thinking, oh fuck, how do I, because if you do start talking about yourself, it's very hard for somebody to politely extricate themselves from that situation without it being crushingly awkward, right?
And you're running down the corridor after them, but I'm finished.
but fuck it, it's worth it for when you have those genuine moments. Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, you and I, yeah, you. I feel you and I have, we have had those genuine moments many times, and there is just, whenever we're together, we do end up having proper conversations with each other.
Yeah,
and it's and that's the other thing as well, and a good laugh. I mean, you know, that time we spent in Sheffield with you, Phil, is one
Christmas
of the...
2018. Oh, yeah.
One of the finest times ever when you, that, and I'm going to say it, when you when you brought me a cup of tea in the morning. And
I caught you having a wank.
You caught me having a wank. Because you knocked,
I knocked.
Straight in. And I'm like, dude.
You won't be having a wank. It's 11 a.m. There's two other blokes on that. He's not going to be having a wank because he's, dude. And you threw the duvet over yourself like that. I didn't see anything.
Oh, I actually
saw more. When you took a shit in the green room and you didn't lock the door and I kicked it open and you tucked all your junk in between your legs. So it just looked like nothing but hair.
Lads.
Yeah. That was another good thing. Open. I think I've got a video of that.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you have. Oh, God. But there is that. We have a bond, and it's nice. And it's like when we first recorded the first one of these. We recorded. I came to your house.
We did some boxing as well.
Yeah, that was it. You go, no,
not
we,
each other.
But you went. We could do it out here.
Mm.
And even that, on that brief level, when we did that for a bit, it made me understand
like boxing a bit more. Yeah. Like, oh shit, you have to really, there's a real art form to it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it. Cause for me, it's like, it's been a hobby I've done for 15 years, but it's kind of meditative because would describe myself as a rabid overthinker.
Right.
And when you're boxing or you're training hard, you're doing pads or you're sparring, there's no room for any of that. You kind of have to be right there in the moment. So it's a situation that forces you into a kind of state of mindfulness, if you like, cause you can't be, you can't be going, I'm sure, you know, people do get in their heads, but generally for me, I'm exerting myself that much. I'm in the moment. And that's something that's hard to do sometimes when you're remonstrating with yourself about God knows fucking what person you argued with 10 years ago. Getting your final point across in your head.
I've done that. I mean, we've all done it. You all get on the street and you're having this argument in your head with someone that you haven't even seen yet. And you're like,
oh, yeah. And the worst bit is when you have this whole raging argument with someone in your head, and then you look back at emails or whatever, and you realize that every point you've just made in your head, you've literally fucking made in the email. You're not doing anything new. It's a ghost of an argument that's finished and saying the same things because you haven't got the response you wanted at the time.
Exactly. I'm
getting better at that though. I'm getting much better at dealing with that kind of shit.
I've realized now, because I get like my flatmate Sweeney, like he's always watching stuff, he's always watching things, and then he's like, have you seen this, have you seen that, and I'm like, no, I don't have time, and he's like, oh, okay, yeah, and then but I think about it, I'm like, no, I absolutely could have watched a film, I could have done something,
of course,
but I end up sitting there with that, my brain like a tombola just going over and over and over everything, and just suddenly an hour's gone, 2 hours have gone.
Yeah, and then you're berating. You spend a half hour after that beating yourself up for wasting an evening. I had this thing where I'm really bad at relaxing. So what I do is for my birthday, and this sounds fucking awful, it makes me look like a terrible person, but for my birthday every year, Leslie takes the kids to her parents, and I just have a weekend in the house to myself. And I'm like, just to have like nothing. And I'm like, right, I'm going to do fuck all. But what I have to do is I have to get a schedule of shit I want to watch lined up in advance to stave off exactly what you've just described.
Yeah.
Of flicking through, looking for what might be a slightly marginally better option or experience. But fundamentally, it's like gambling on that and leaving you with 45 minutes of fucking flicking through 10-second trailers and feeling miserable about yourself. So I'll line up everything I want to do. And it's like I'll organize it and I'll like be hardcore on myself to do fuck all, which sounds weird. But I'll do that for a weekend, and then I always find it like very relaxing. Being in, you know, and then I'll try and be a good husband and father for the rest of the year.
I think that's a good idea, actually. I think you should be able to give each other time out.
No, you should. Like, definitely, there's one comic on the circuit. I won't say his name. You might know it, but when he had a kid, he would tell his wife that he had a gig and he'd just book a hotel down the
road. Oh, my God.
I've never gone that far. Like,
I mean, yeah, that's another level. At least, you know, I mean, I get it, but the way you're doing it, there's understanding and there's knowing. It's like, yes, that's your weekend.
And it's a cheap gift.
Yeah, but I mean, when you've got kids, this is the thing. Having children, people don't tell you.
It's the other fucking part of it. Halfway into day two, I'm missing the fuck out of it. And I'm like, no, don't miss your kids. Like, watch this South Korean horror movie and then play Hitman 2 and do what you like. Do not just fucking have 2 days. You know what I mean?
Mate, yeah.
You know what's better than the actual 2 days that I have to myself? Is the month and a half of anticipating how good it's going to be. Living in this fantasy land of what this weekend break to myself is going to be like, that reality is never going to touch. I'm such a fucking idiot. I really am.
But what I love is that you recognise your stupidity, your idiocy.
You've got to, don't you? Otherwise, you're a little fucking Elmer Fudd character. Like, everyone laughing at you. Everyone's a knobhead, aren't they? In different ways. I've had two arguments recently, which have been so bizarre. There was one argument I had where it was a little thing with a neighbour and they took it way too far and they drew up this legal document that would give them sort of rights for the next 10 years and they went way overboard. And I said, mate, this is totally unacceptable. I'm not signing this. He came round and I proper let him have it and let him know exactly how and why I was irritated with what I thought was a land grab over a very minor issue. And this guy, to his fucking credit, turned around and went, do you know what? You've got a point. Like, I used to be a lawyer and I have a habit of becoming too officious. And it's clear to me that this is what's happened in this situation.
Wow.
And I don't know if I'm used to sort of watching arguments online or political arguments or anything like that. But at that point, I sit back and I go, yeah. And I've been way over the top angry about this. And I'm sorry if I've been too emotive. And suddenly, from me thinking this guy's a prick, he's given me a bit of land. I've given him a bit of land back. And it's like we've had a snarl at each other. We're mates now.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And I had exactly this. Funnily enough, I had the same thing with a guy last night who was winding me up over email. It's just there was a load of passive aggression and he was being very, very condescending. And I'd really held my tongue on it. And in the end, I thought, fuck it, because I'm going to be stewing all night. And I rang him. And I just said, look, I found all your communications really passive aggressive, really kind. And he just went, yep, I'm sorry. And I'm like, what do you mean you're sorry? Like, are you saying I'm right? Well, that's your interpretation. Well, here's how I see it. Have you had interactions like this with people in the past? And the guy goes, to be honest, yeah. And I'm like, right. And he goes, I admit I've got, and then I was like, all right, yeah, fair play. I didn't read that bit. I didn't pay attention to the thing that you got wound up. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, all of the irritation and pissed offness went. Because these two arguments I've had, the people have turned around and just sort of gone, yeah, here's where I've fucked up. And then immediately I've gone, oh, here's where I've fucked up as well. And so I'm perfectly happy to do that. Because like you say, you've got to know where you go wrong to like evolve.
Yeah, really. Absolutely.
And that's, yeah, it's just refreshing to have that happen.
But that's the thing, and it just goes to show you what kind of a person you are.
I am a fucking nightmare to deal with, and these people are just hedging their bets, going, "This dude is losing his rag," and I'm just going to faux apologise to him to get this guy to shut the fuck up. So it's one of those two things.
Doesn't matter which one it is, as long as they do.
Exactly. At least but you always feel like mates after a row, don't you? Do you know what I mean?
Well,
I do anyway. Yeah. I always feel like mates if I had a row with someone.
Well, yes, if you've cleared the air, if there's things building up, normally there's things building up. And, that's... But you've studied. You were... Didn't you study psychology?
Yeah. I trained to be a psychotherapist for a bit. I had clients as a student psychotherapist for about a year. And then I thought, I could do this when I'm whatever. I always said I could do this when I'm 50 or whatever, or 60. I could do this when I'm a much older person. There's other stuff I want to do before that. But yeah, found it fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And I think I said this on the last podcast, but the people I was training to be a psychotherapist, my classmates, were the most rollercoaster bunch of peers I've ever had in any job ever, including comedy. Like, properly, yeah. Like, you'd think that peers in comedy would be the ones that would make you raise your eyebrow, but no, it was the people that were trained to be psychotherapists. Because obviously, I think if you're going to get into that, you've probably spent a lot of time asking yourself questions and analysing your own behaviour and so on and so on. That's why, you know, people should never be intimidated really by speaking to a psychotherapist, because they've had more therapy and probably seen more issues than any of the clients have combined, you know what I mean?
Do you think it's helped you? Do you think it's helped you in your life now to get a better understanding of human beings?
Yeah, I think when I was training in my mid-20s, it definitely gave me a bit of a fucking God complex. It's definitely like, and that's the other thing with psychotherapists is there is that ego thing. Of course there is, that would draw you to the idea that you could fix people. Mm. It's either, it could be a people pleaser thing, it could be an ego thing. But like, yeah, I remember I was seeing this girl and I was seeing this girl and she came out to this club and her mate was there and her mate's boyfriend. And the girl was sort of, I just started comedy. I was an open spot. And the girl was telling her mate, oh, this guy's a comedian. And for some reason, fuck knows why, the girl I was seeing, her friend's boyfriend just loathed me, like just hated me on sight. I tried to be friendly. Do you know when you get that, like Mount Rushmore, yeah. I got fuck all. And then he started being a bit, just a bit fucking snipey in the cab, like beyond passive aggression, a bit like, are you even a comedian? Like, are you all this shit? And I'm like, I think I said to him, I looked at him and I sort of, I'd been, you know, learning about projection and relationships and shit like that. And I just said to him, you got any brothers or sisters? He goes, well, what's that got to do with anything? I said, I reckon you've got a brother. And the guy went, yeah, is he older or younger? And I went, he's older. And he's like, well, yeah, that's 50-50 guess. I said, yeah, but what you're doing is you are replicating the relationship that you have with your brother with me right now. Oh. And he goes, I don't have a relationship with my brother. And I went, exactly. and things like that, like you shouldn't be doing that. That's like being a fucking black belt and choking someone out at a nightclub or something.
Yeah.
Like the guy was being a twat, yeah. But like he went proper quiet and it got proper awkward. And I mean, to be fair, as soon as they all got out the cab, like the cabbie turned around and said, mate, I'm not going to charge you for the rest of that trip. That was really good. And I felt like a champion. Wow. But that is the thing. When you're mid-20s, I was all ego, like pure ego, just fucking nothing but ego. Mm. Walking ego in bootcut jeans and gel hair. It was a fucking nightmare.
What a combination.
I know. Early noughties. This is like, oh, God.
But like you say, having that, doing that out in the open, not in a safe space, and you're only, and you're still learning, like you don't know what you're going to expose that person
no,
to
course,
open up.
Of course.
And there's no aftercare, is there? They're kind
nah,
of yeah.
Nah. I mean the guy was a knob. I mean I might have helped him. You know. But everyone's a knob for a reason, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, and this is what I found out in these arguments. Like there's always a logical sort of course of actions. Like when I'm being a dickhead, I'd like to think that there has been a logical course of action that have led me to act like a dickhead.
Yeah.
But like, as I'm chatting to this guy yesterday on the phone, I'm like, this guy's the most organized, fastidious person ever. And he'd written something in this email that was like drowned in a million other points, right? Yeah. And I hadn't caught it. And when I said, sort of hadn't read the thing to him, I worked out that the reason he was angry wasn't because I hadn't read it. It was because I had, to his mind, presumed that he hadn't covered it. And right. Fastidiousness is his thing. So he was taking something as a personal insult. And I was just like, all right, yeah, I get that now. I understand that. That's why we've been at loggerheads and why, you know, you've been pissed off at me and it all makes sense. And I don't know, there's always I would say nearly always a reason if someone's being a bit of a twat, isn't it?
Always. I can always trace back what it was. It'd take me a bit because I'll be kicking off and go, and then I'll be standing there, why am I annoyed? Why am I angry? Yeah. What's going on? Like with an ex-partner of mine, and I'd be stood there going, fuck! And I'm like, but this is just a cheese sandwich. Why am I kicking off about this cheese sandwich? Oh, hang on a minute. No, it's because they've been thoughtless before. This is another area that they're being thoughtless again. This is all the thoughtlessness built up. And I go, oh yeah, because you've done it before. Now I'm kicking off because of this sandwich.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the sandwich. It's the fact that you've been thoughtless and selfish loads of times before.
That's the behaviour that the sandwich represents.
Exactly, exactly. Kicking off in the car over chicken strippers, and you're
you look like the arsehole.
yeah. And then they go, you're so moody, and you're like, you're really selfish, and it's really annoying how selfish you are. But now I've fucking played into your hands. Now I have no grounds to have a go at you because I've just kicked off over chicken strippers.
Chicken strippers.
Yeah, chicken strippers, whatever they are.
They're not chickens. Chicken strippers sounds wrong.
Chicken strippers. Chicken strip, yeah, they're from Burger King.
Chickens, yeah, chicken strip.
Right. Whatever they are.
Chicken strippers.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. You're kicking off over that, and it's not that, like you say, they represent.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but then you've given them the argument and you can't win.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm like you. I'm not a fan of conflict. And you don't strike me as someone like you will. You'll fight your corner, but you'll be more than happy for that not to happen. And for that,
it depends. Like, if it's an issue that needs resolving, then, and I know I'll be more comfortable after resolving it versus rolling it around in my head and wasting energy, then I would rather have a direct conversation with someone.
Mm.
And go, who's being a cunt here? Is it me or you? Like, you know, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean. Yeah.
Like, if somebody's worth it, though, if somebody isn't worth it, if you've just decided, then I will avoid that confrontation. If somebody, if I wouldn't see myself being friends with somebody, I'd be more inclined to just sort of leave it, whatever.
Yeah,
I reckon. Anyway,
yeah, there's a few people, especially as you get older, you start to reevaluate the importance of certain friendships. You kind of go, hang on a minute, I always feel bad that I'm in your company because you make me feel bad, so why am I still hanging around with you? I'm too busy running around trying to placate you and make you feel better, but whenever I'm with you don't give a fuck about how you're making me feel.
But they're not making you feel, though, are they? You're feeling a certain way in response to a stimulus that you're given. Nobody can make you feel anything, Rich.
this is a reason.
Like a fucking irritating cunt. You know what I mean, though?
Well, that's like, just, I've that's come up a lot lately.
It's true, right? Honestly, a lot of the stuff I've been looking at with like Irvin, no, not Irvin fucking Welsh. Sorry, I'm being really sweary today. I think it's because I don't swear as Troy. Eckhart Tolle and Sam Harris, I think it's this whole thing of like no one can make you feel anything. You feel what you feel, but like the thoughts that you get, this is what I'm sort of getting from the Sam Harris meditation and Eckhart Tolle stuff. You have a choice of attaching emotion to those thoughts, or you just let them float away. Because Sam Harris said something really interesting. He said, you've got no more control over the thoughts that pop up that you have in your head than you do of hearing a bird sing, than you do of hearing a noise. Mm. It's just whether or not you attach to the thought. Do you know what I mean? Thoughts will come up. You've got no control over your thoughts. You aren't your thoughts. Don't identify personally with those. But just sort of, you know, sift through it like that. I guess I don't know. And like, it, for me, with friendships and stuff, is what you're saying is like you leave feeling negative, you leave feeling like you've had a burden or not right about yourself or irritated with someone. Then you do get to the point where time is precious, especially when you've got kids, you've got responsibilities, you've got a demanding career. You just go, I'm just going to tap out of that, and then you know. That's a fucking weird thing.
Yeah.
Having to end a friendship, though. Have you ever had to end a friendship? Like, actually, like...
Really? No, I've never had to do that. I've kind of just drifted away.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough.
Yeah.
I've once or twice, and I've had one or two ended on me. But that, I mean, that's a bizarre one. That's a tricky one. Because I have also ghosted as well. Though,
have you?
And that's not nice, but it's just because my reasons for ending the friendship would not be, I don't think would be received well, or just wouldn't be, it just wouldn't work out, or I'm just being a pussy. Is it like, this is a tough thing to do, to end the friendship, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what do? You just make yourself unavailable and then leave it until
just be busy. But the thing is, the irony is, I am we, like you, not like yourself. We are busy. Our times are at opposite ends of people's days. So
yeah.
I am actually busy, and as are you. And so I'm like, yeah, I can't see you that night. I'm out. I'm in Sheffield or I'm somewhere else. But I could see you Monday lunchtime. And I'm like, oh yeah, but I'm at work. And you go, oh shit, yeah. And it so it just sort of naturally does that. Going back to what you were saying about the about how, nobody can make you feel anything.
Yeah,
I read that recently as well. It did make me think, but the thought, and yeah, you don't have any control over your thoughts, but the thoughts that you're having are inspired by the behaviours of the person that's fucks you off.
Yeah, but then...
Has inspired those feelings.
It implies a lack of agency, though. And that's it. I think it's that sort of ability to affect and manipulate your own surroundings to your sort of to your needs,
right?
And the idea that you've lost that, like, I find it very frustrating. If I mean, you know, you hear a friend talk sometimes and they're like, oh, this situation's shit, and it's like, well, why don't you do this then? I can't do that because of this. Well, how about this? Well, I can't do that either. And they're like boxing themselves into this little area where they have no choice. And they're a victim of their environment, and there's nothing they can do, and fate will wreak its dastardly work on them until they're a fucking skeleton hanging off a four-masted sail. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, no, actually, there's so much you can do to change your environment. And that's relative as well. It's obviously on a sort of case-by-case basis, but there's always something you can do. And there's always a learning curve to be had from tough times as well. Like the biggest learning curve. It's like dying at gigs. That's the biggest learning curve if you take it on the chin.
Mm.
You know, if you don't blame some, like Deontay Wilder, if he'd have, after the loss, when he got knocked out, the second fight to Tyson Fury, if he'd have gone away and gone, okay, I need to work on my footwork. I need to adapt. I need to work out these tactics. He hasn't done that. He's gone, my water was drugged by my trainer.
Oh, yeah.
Tyson Fury had horseshoes in his gloves and all of that. And basically what that means is I don't have to do fuck all about me because I was cheated. I'm fine as I am. I'm going to go back. He's not going to cheat and I'm going to win. But what he did do was when he put all that weight on, so his one weapon, where he's got more, you know, his right hand, he just loaded that up to like 100%. So he's not gone back, addressed his issues, addressed where he could improve. I mean, you know, who knows, would he have enough time frame between the two fights to even adequately do that anyway? But that's the thing, is like when you have a bad time, you got to take it on the chin, you got to find out where you're responsible for it and then work on it and try and make sure that it doesn't happen again. And and I think that extends to sort of friendships as well. Do you know what I mean? If it's not working for you, then you get out of it.
Yeah.
Do the hard thing that will make life easier in front. But then, you know, obviously people are in different social positions. People are in different sort of financial positions. Some people have more choices than others in those situations. So it's not as clear cut or easy as I'm making it sound.
No. I know what you mean. But there is something you can do somewhere. But it's
there's always something you can do.
Yeah, but it's taking responsibility, like you've just said.
Yeah.
Literally, you have to go, right, okay, this is on me. Someone said that to me. They went, well, it's... I've got a mate called Geordie. You probably might have met him. And he's very...
Oh, he's a right wank.
Yeah.
But Geordie.
He just goes, well, okay, what can you do?
I can't
do this, I can't do that. And he's like, all right, fine. So let's not make lists of what you can't do. Let's make lists of what can you do.
Yeah, I like Geordie. Geordie knows his shit. Yeah, definitely.
And that was it. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. He goes, no one else can do it. He goes, you've got to do it. And like, okay. Yeah.
I always walked away from the worst deaths to the toughest fucking rooms. And I'd always walk away and go, somewhere within my neural ability, there was a combination of words and actions that would have stormed that room. It doesn't matter how bad the sound system was. It doesn't matter how awful the MC was, how uninterested the crowd were. I'd always walk away from gig going, there was a way to have played that.
Yeah.
Like, try and think about how you actually find that little 10% or whatever you can get now to make sure that you know what you're doing next time. You know what I mean?
And when you're playing, because now you're Troy...
Yes.
And I know we've talked about this before, but for the listeners, do you feel like you're more confident as Troy as a performer. You've got some, it's almost like something to hide behind. You're like, because Troy is so not you. He's this, he's this larger-than-life kind of a man from no age. He's from the past and the future.
Yeah,
it's a real like a not steampunk, but like a kind of he's from everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And you find and he's easier to be him than rather than be you.
Do you know what? Up until a few years ago, I felt more awkward walking down the street than I did being on stage. I'm a lot more chilled out now, I think. Just happens as you get older. Yeah. Is it easier being Troy? Is it easier being a character on stage? For me, psychologically, I think it's easier than being myself on stage. Do you know what I mean? Like, definitely, there is definitely a little security blanket, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, I think the reason I started doing a character in the first place is definitely down to identity issues for sure. Like, I didn't have a clue who I was when I started doing comedy. So what I started doing as myself at the beginning was more fake, less authentic, even when I started doing a character, because I was just thinking, what will make people laugh? What I wasn't thinking, what do I find funny? What's my unique vision? What's my worldview? I was thinking, what combination of words can I use to make these people laugh so I can feel good about myself? And then, and you know, and sometimes it works, and then you feel great, and then it's all good. But it has changed a lot for me. Like back in the early days of comedy, now that I think back to it, the thing that I would really look forward to was the moment after I'd smashed a gig. Not the gig, but the moment after I smashed the gig, so I could drive home and for the next couple of days feel awesome about myself because I'd smashed the gig. Yeah. I wasn't thinking about anything else. I wasn't thinking about how good I was. It was like, it wasn't like, like that was my sort of goal. But then that's changed over the years. And as it's changed, I've seen the application of me going, right, what do I find funny? What can I write that's unique? What would I enjoy? And now over the years, I've become much more attracted to the work of it and sitting down and the sort of puzzle that writing material can present. What can I pull out of this? Where is it? You look at it. It's like a code that you've got to decipher. Then you get a topic. You're like, I'm going to make this funny. How do I do it? And you just sit there and you sort of pull the threads, and it's really just one of the most satisfying things in the world. And you find the way you're going to approach the topic. But I never looked at comedy at all in the early days like that.
No, it's funny having watched you, because you were Phil Berto to start with, and I never. I think I couldn't differentiate the two people. There wasn't enough. There wasn't enough difference.
Yeah.
And so
Filberto was a Portuguese reality TV show winner, and it started off fairly unique and charactery, I would say, but then kind of by necessity of weekend work and Jonglers and places like that, it kind of devolved into me shouting in a foreign accent. But you know, that would get laughs, and that was enough for me at the time. Yeah. That would go well, you know what I mean? But yeah.
But then when you became Troy, and I remember watching Troy at the very beginning and going, this is good, this is something here. And to see where Troy is now, and I've talked about this with other people that do characters, when you refer to the character as a person,
you're
like, oh yeah, well, Troy would do that, or Troy wouldn't say that, or you know, Troy is this, Troy's that. That's the sign of a great character, when they take on a life of their own.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. And like I say, Troy is this weird time traveler. Like, he's not from the past, he's not from the future, he's kind of from everywhere. And it's a really nice, it's really good to see that's happened.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that a lot. But you were a musician before that.
Yeah.
Weren't you?
Yeah, I was a drummer. So I started playing drums when I was about 16, because I had this new group of mates who wanted to join a band, wanted to form a band, and nobody was playing the drums. So I picked the most expensive, least sort of visually exposed member of a typical band setup. But then, like, I just totally got into it. I just, something about it hooked me. It's the same as boxing, I think. It's such a technique-driven thing. With, it's a nuanced technique, tiny adjustments kind of wield really big results.
Yeah.
And you get, when you get to the point where you're completely relaxed and flowing, it's an incredibly satisfying feeling. I think with boxing and drumming, definitely. Just hitting shit, basically.
You just like to hit
hitting
stuff.
Shit as hard as you can, yeah.
But my youngest is a drummer.
Yeah.
And I watched, he sent me a video of him the other night at a jam night that he jumped up on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, excellent. Because I'd never seen
what
that side of him
he?
Before. He's 24.
Right.
But he was taught by Eddie from Lower Than Atlantis. And now he's off studying at BIM in Bristol.
Yeah.
And so but I haven't seen what's gone on in the meantime. And then he sent me that video. I'm like, oh, yeah. And he was so lost in it. Like, he was just, because it was jazz, sort of jazz funk. So it's a bit more controlled. Like, you can't just wait. You know, it's not like thrash pop or thrash metal.
Yeah.
So it's a lot more controlled, and he was just bobbing along. And you could just see he was just gone in the music.
Yes, that was my favourite thing about drumming. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're having to keeping time is not as easy as people think. And it's easier to speed up than it is to slow down.
It becomes kind of natural. Like, I was in a load of bands, and then it wasn't until I got in a really good band that I was like, the bands I was in before, every band member, if you're in a band that's not dedicated to the song, then every band member will try and play riffs, fills, bits that make them look like a good player of that instrument, and none of that will really collectively complement the music. And then I got in a good band and I saw everybody working towards the song for the first time in any band I'd really ever been in, and I was like, it's that simple. It's everyone putting their egos to one side for the sake of the song. And I imagine in most successful bands that's a natural way that they do it.
Yeah.
But it was a revelation for me, because I was just like, yeah, this is why this is good, you know. But as a bassist and a drummer, if you do a load of gigs together, you just magically sort of fall into a natural rhythm. You get super tight, you know. Because I was in like a touring band. We did like 3 to 5 gigs a week. And I remember I never thought I was a particularly good drummer. And at the beginning I wasn't. But early on, this grizzled old sort of rock dude at a festival came up and said, "You and your mate, the bass player, you are super tight. You're a super tight unit. Like, and you are really making that noise." And I was like, oh, really? And then as time got on and as I got better, I wanted to get better.
Yeah.
It's the same as comedy. As I started to enjoy getting better. And so I got really focused on it. But then it got to the point where doing an open mic gig was legit more exciting than, you know, playing a little festival gig abroad or something in a band. Yeah. It just, I was just like, all right, this is what I've wanted since I was 16, but I think I'm done with it now.
Because you were with Tim Booth.
Yeah, I was with James. Tim, I saw Tim the other week. He's doing really well. I had a little catch up with him. Yeah, he's great. And that was phenomenal. So we had a year basically playing all the major festivals and, you know, sharing a stage with people like Kasabian and The Killers and like Morrissey at one point.
Fuck.
People like that. Just in that year, 2004, we sort of did the whole circuit. And it was beautiful. But I was kind of like, all right, I think I've done that. Yeah, cool. You know.
And because Tim Booth is always about spirituality and he's, you know, he's got his stories of him taking his relaxation to his floating tank or whatever it is, his isolation tank.
Oh yeah, he does all that. He does this amazing thing called five rhythms therapy, five rhythms dancing. I don't know if I don't quite know how it works, but I went into this room in Brighton and this music started and everyone started dancing in the same way, and they were all on beat and they all looked incredible. I've never seen a room full of people dancing and nobody's shit, but I haven't. And it's all this sort of expressive dance stuff, and I did it for a session. It felt great, but it's just one of those things where you go, oh yeah, that'd be good, but I don't think there's any five rhythms dancing classes in Leatherhead. It's I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something about getting in touch with your emotions through one of five basic rhythms that everybody dances to. And apparently it's very, very liberating. Like, I only had one session of it. But yeah, Tim's big into that.
Yeah. What do you make about of all this? now we're all opening up, and now we're all talking about our feelings and our emotions.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Yeah.
Of course it is. It's absolutely like the way forward. It's like people are kind of waking up in a way. Do you know what I mean? And I think there's a lot more of it to come. And I reckon, I tell you what's going to be a big, an interesting thing on the horizon is right now there's a lot of science about microdosing, where it's been made legal and they cannot ignore the benefits and stuff. So then there's this dilemma where you're like, all right, so they can't ignore this. So does microdosing acid, psilocybin, MDMA, in non-psychoactive doses, does this now become a big pharma thing, but where it's controlled by, but then it's like, do you know what I mean? Does
it
widely mainstream, does it become, but I don't think it will, because ultimately, wouldn't that hurt big pharma more? Because then they wouldn't sell as many anti-depression pills because people are actually getting, you know,
actually getting help rather than being reliant. Yeah.
Woken up. You know, I've done DMT a bunch, and spiritually, psychologically, like, you've got to be in the right place mentally, I think, to do it. But it's that's helped me tremendously over the years. Like, you know, on a level with psychotherapy, I'd say, to a certain extent. And I think the more they look into it, the more that they find these things, that the fact that DMT can help addiction and problematic behaviors and just... Yeah, same with psilocybin, same with all these things. And I think all of those things are going to get people to open up more as they become more mainstream, which I believe they will over the next few years. It's all going to be legal, I think, in the next couple of years. So. Yeah, people are waking up. People are going, that doesn't work. Not talking doesn't work. Getting stressed doesn't work, because people are finding out about things like passive aggression and projection. And I think when you become aware that you are manifesting behaviors based on stuff that you haven't dealt with yourself, when you become aware of that, I think it's very hard to carry on doing it. And people are getting a lot more educated about these kind of behaviors and the way the environment affects a person and how they affect their environment and what you can do to change. And you know, I think people are getting more empathy as well.
Yeah.
On the whole, I think people are getting a lot more empathy. What do you think?
No, I think, I mean, I'm absolutely 100% in agreement with you. I'm a firm believer in energy, and I'm a firm believer that we all kind of react off of each other.
Of course.
There's a subconscious thing going on that none of us know what's going on. We have no, like you said, no control over. It's funny because Paul Smith was on, and Paul Smith talked about this very thing. And he talked about the trip that he'd gone on, and he saw the serpent. And it all sounds like whoa, but he was so like, fuck, you know, that it really changed him for the better.
Did he tell you that he did his first trip with me?
Yeah, but we didn't.
Did he cut your name out?
Because he went. Oh, I did it with Milo, and because initially we were just talking about it, and we went. Oh yeah, we won't say who, and it sort of like slipped out, and he went, oh fuck, we said, oh, sorry, we'll edit it out. Don't worry. So we edited it out.
No, I'm good. I think he talks about it on stage now as well.
Yeah, but
that was interesting.
But was it called Silas? What do you call it?
Well, that was DMT. Active component of mushrooms.
But that's it. So we had eggs. We had Eggsy from Goldie Looking Chain on the other week.
Cool.
And he's massive on mushrooms. And he says that basically all human life stems from mushrooms, so the spores came from on a meteorite or something. And it sounds fucking mental when I say this. And when I say mental, I'm not being derogatory to people with mental issues. Fucking hell, you'll be fucking careful, right? I like saying things are mental, and I'm going to keep saying it anyway. So this meteorite hits us, and then the spores spread out because the spread is so vast.
Yeah.
And that's the cornerstone of life on Earth as we know it.
And then what happens? The spores turn into fish. What? Where's it?
This is why there's fungus in us and around us, and it makes sense. And then so we would make sense that mushrooms. No, it does. You got fungal in you, fungal infection.
You got all right.
Makes total sense. And then that's why the mushroom thing makes sense, because it's connecting back with the mushroom that's in you. That sounds madness.
So the thing I remember hearing, and I think it was on a podcast or something, was that, and it was a theory floated about that whatever Neanderthal man ate some of these mushrooms, and that changed the thought patterns and started looking at, started getting this sort of Neanderthal breed to start dealing with problems in a different way and building tools and shit like that. And that came from psilocybin insights. Who the fuck knows? I don't know.
Yeah. It all sounds amazing. Yeah. Doesn't it? But I'm really into that microdosing, like you said. I really like the idea of that.
Have you done it?
No, but I was with Joe Zelius.
I was with him
a few weeks ago, and he mentioned it as well. And he said, next time you come up, he goes, because you only do it like when you have the trip, like not microdosing, but when you go on the trip, he says, it's only 10 minutes.
You can't. Are you talking about DMT?
Yeah. We're back to DMT now. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Yeah. I've never had one longer than 15 minutes.
No. And you go off and, but does it feel longer when you're doing it?
No. If anything, it feels quicker sometimes.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, I think it varies from person to person.
But like you say, you have to be in the right frame of mind. Because it's like if you, when I've done acid. I've done acid when I've been in a great place. Yeah. I've done acid when I wasn't in such a great place, and it was fucking horrible.
But is it not that when you have a bad trip on acid or mushrooms or anything, does it not just bring all the scary stuff you've got at the back of your head to the front of your head, where you can actually look at it and process it? And all this bad shit in the back of your head being brought to the front of your head is uncomfortable and unpleasant, but it's also kind of a necessary thing. And as long as you then look at all that mulch that you've raked out of your fucking shed, then you, as long as you look at it and go, Christ, I bet you can't run away from this. Let's sort these
gutters out. This is a mess.
Yeah. Exactly. But when you sort your guts out, you're like, you scrape all the shit down, it goes all over your windows.
So you can't see for a while.
All over your windows, in the neighbour's car, if you've had a big one.
Although, the last time I did acid, my bed turned into a mouth. It was horrible.
Right.
And I was trying not to fall in it. It was like, you know that thing in Return of the Jedi? Or whatever it is.
Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, the Sarlacc. It was like that. And I was trying not to fall in it. I had to keep getting off my bed because it was turning into that. And that's because everyone had left me. I was fine when everyone was there. And then everybody left. And that's when the next drop of acid kicked in. And that's when I lost my mind. I was scared of my washing. There's a pile of dirty washing in the corner of my hotel room. I thought outside was like a nuclear wasteland. This is last time I was in New Zealand.
Right.
We went to a house party and we got there late after the gig. As a pile of us, I won't say who was there because these people are. Anyway,
was it 2018?
I'm not telling you where. I'm not telling you the year because these people are known. They're known now. So anyway, we get there. We get to this party and this little Scottish man comes out of nowhere and he goes, "Oh, the drugs are gone, but they're doing acid in that room there." And I went, "Oh, well, I might give that a swerve, mate. I don't know if I fancy acid." Anyway, I looked down. There was a woman in like an all-in-one like rubber suit. And then another woman dressed as Jerry Halliwell, and then these guys, like these topless dudes and all that. And I kind of went, "Well, let's go and see what they're doing anyway. Let's go and have a look." So we go, we get drops of acid on us, and then the next minute I'm on the sofa. We're all sat on this L-shaped sofa.
How many drops?
I had one then. I had one drop, and that was all I needed because I was gone. And we're all sat around an L-shape, and we're all tripping balls. And then out of nowhere, the Scottish guy again appears next to me like the shopkeeper from Mr. Ben. It's like the music stops, and clear as a bell, I just hear him go, "I have all my own teeth." And I fucking died. I was like, I couldn't breathe laughing. And I looked across at who I was with, and then they went, "Did he just say that?" Yeah, he did. And so the whole row just starts pissing themselves laughing. We end up back at my apartment, and then we're all getting on it, making tea, we're all drawing pictures and all that, having a lovely time. And then everybody left. And then when everybody left, the second drop of acid that I'd had before I left the party kicked in.
And you can't sleep.
No.
No way of sleeping.
And you think, "Oh, well, I'll just play with myself for a bit. Maybe that'll chill me out." And that doesn't work.
On acid?
Yeah. Oh, God. It was awful. I'd start touching myself, and then suddenly I'm covered in, you know, the leavings. But you don't have the exciting bit in the middle. So you just go from one thing to the other. It was awful. I had a terrible time. Terrible time. So it put me off a little bit.
Yeah.
This is taking a turn. But DMT, I would like to give that a bash.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come and join you on your weekend, on your birthday weekend, and just
go.
I don't know. You've gone. Yeah, you're like, no, that's my weekend.
Nobody's joining me on my fucking birthday.
I can even tell by the tone of your voice. You're like, no, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, this has been lovely. I've really enjoyed you coming on.
Yeah, finally.
Are you all right though?
We covered everything, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Am I all right? Yeah, I've had a prolonged good patch.
Yeah.
I've had a prolonged period of things going well work-wise, everything being great at home, things working out brilliant. A really prolonged period of that. And then last week, I had a tiny little hiccup. Not even that big, but just like a tiny little... I had a producer come and see me at a gig. I hadn't researched the gig and I got there and there were like no paying customers, but five people who happened to be there that decided to stay. That meant the thing would happen. And I was just like, you know, of all the gigs I'm doing, I'm not doing many in London. And the one I pick is this one. Mm. And I made the best of it. But I think when everything is going fucking great, it's like my mind will find a negative to fixate on. And it spiraled me a little bit into sort of some negative thinking. And I felt myself start to fall more into a type of thinking I haven't done since the lockdown. And then at a certain point, I try and make friends with it, try and go, do you know what? It's night and day, isn't it? You've been happy as fuck for 5 weeks. You cannot sustain that. Just make friends with the idea that for the next day or two, you're going to be a bit low. And that's fine. It's natural.
Yeah.
You're going to feel a bit glum. You're not going to be on top of your game. Just surrender to that. And then every single time I do that, it works out for me. And then I sort of go, oh, yeah, it's not so bad. I'm just feeling a bit, you know, relatively glum. I'm due a bit of a dip.
Yeah.
Fucking hello, dip. Let's just sit in whatever little sand dune on the golf course that you've built. Let's just sit here for a bit. And then, it won't be too long. A couple of days, I'll be back right as rain.
And that's the thing.
If I'm trying to force myself to be fucking happy, if I'm trying to, it's like quicksand, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah. No. But that, I was just about to just, I must underline what you've said. And it's like, that's such a brilliant way of putting it. Making friends with that, with the dip, making friends with that moment. Mm. Because so many people, I see it all the time. They post online and go, oh, I feel a bit shit today. You go, yeah, you're going to.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. For whatever reason,
you can't be fucking happy every day, can you?
No, it's unsustainable. It's not natural.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you're a human being. Your blood sugar's low. Something somewhere is going to be different. You've just got to go. Well, I think it's that people think, oh shit, it's going to be like this forever, and it isn't. You're going to be up and down all the time.
And then next week, when you're happy again, you can't even remember how that felt.
No, exactly.
You can't even remember how that felt. So anyway, yes, I've just come out of that dip and I'm all good again. I've hit a nice little productive phase. And generally speaking, if I'm being productive and I'm happy, do you know what I mean?
Same.
That's a big one.
And I want to say thank you that you inspired this. So from that very conversation, no pressure, mate, but thank you. Nice one.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I'm not having this podcast on my account.
This is all your fault. All this fucking.
Don't blame me.
You inspired me, mate. Yeah, you can't. No, it's not up to you. I can't make you feel anyway.
That is absolutely true. Hands
so you feel whatever you want, mate. But where can we find you online?
Yeah. So it's Troy Hawk. I'm on all platforms. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and don't really use YouTube. But yeah, just Troy Hawk everywhere. And I'm about to put in a load of tour dates.
Lovely.
For next year, which I'm excited about. All over. So just Troy Hawk comedy. And then look for a guy in a smoking jacket and a tash, and you're in the right place.
Amazing. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Rich. Insane in
the membrane. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.